Walt Disney World has gained somewhat of a reputation for closing the beloved rides from our childhood to usher in new shows and attractions, and sometimes we don't really want them. Most of the time, though, it's because of dwindling attendance for the attraction, and sometimes there's even serious guest safety issues. However, with the Great Movie Ride, for the most part, it didn't have those problems. It was recently updated and still drew in fairly large crowds, but executives from Disney said that the removal of the Great Movie Ride was just a strategic move to align the area with the park's overall vision. I was suspicious, though. It seemed like it still fit in with the vision of the park, and its replacement ended up being a fairly similar historical ride anyway. That's why I decided to investigate into this subject a little further. So I set up an interview with a former team leader named Dan Cleave to see if he might have any kind of insight on the subject. His interview was one of the most disturbing and illuminating ones that I've done to this day. He told me that while working at the ride, there were a lot of unexplainable phenomena. In fact, it had become kind of a thing between cast members that worked there that the ride might be haunted. He never believed in the rumors, though, until one day, a few months after he started working there, a boy went missing after the ride car broke down, and his family was forced to walk the track to the exit. Security assumed that he had exited the building and got lost somewhere in the park, but he was never found. Then a few weeks before the ride had ended up closing, an update had been made to the ride's standard operating procedures, so that whenever they were closing down for the night, they had to send a single cast member through to make sure all the show effects were working properly. Unfortunately for Dan, he was the first person to be chosen to do this. At first, everything was working completely normal, up until the ride car got to the alien room. He heard the creepy alarm system echo through the building as the car advanced into the entrance to where the Nostromo was. At that moment, he thought he saw a shadow of a small figure run in front of the car on the track. Then the car suddenly stopped. Immediately, Dan radioed the rest of the crew, saying that he thought there might be someone running around the ride. However, oddly, no one responded. If you've ever worked at a theme park ride, you know that that's not normal to get no response from your team members. Everyone has to be in constant contact at all times to prevent serious safety hazards. So after a few minutes, Dan got off the car and decided to walk the rest of the way back. When he got into the Raiders of the Lost Ark room, he said he smelled the putrid smell of feet and heard someone up ahead, up on the entrance to the giant dog-like statue. Then when he got in viewing distance, he saw fog coming out from it. But just like when your tour guide disappears on the ride, there was no one there. He yelled out, but no one answered. At this point, he really picked up the pace. Not knowing what else to do, though, he just kept walking through the ride. He was most of the way out when he noticed that, in the Wizard of Oz area, part of the arm of one of the lollipop kids was missing. But he couldn't worry about this at the time, so he just kept going. Then once he got out, he scolded the rest of his cast members for not responding to him while the car was in there. But bizarrely, they all agreed that he couldn't be heard. Also, according to their controls, everything was still working fine. Then Dan immediately sent maintenance in to try and figure out the reason the car had broken down, and to see if there could possibly have been a person in there with him. What they told him sent chills down my spine. They found out that the reason the ride car stopped was that the arm from the lollipop kid had been jammed into one of the wheels. Considering on his ride through, Dan hadn't even gotten into the Wizard of Oz room yet, it makes it obvious that there must have been a person in there with him. At that point, they did a full security sweep of the entire track and building, which is something that had not been done in a very long time. And that was when they found something truly disturbing. Inside an opening beneath the track was a torn-up blanket and pillow, along with a Polaroid containing countless boxes of photos. The photos were taken from the shadows, and were of the guest faces from throughout the years. The most creepy thing, though, was that the parents were always out of the pictures, leaving only the faces of the children. They also later found a very old Disney pass that had not been in circulation since the first months of the ride opening. Several dirty clothes had been found also that had been stolen from the Wizard of Oz room and seemed like they were continuously worn for years. Dan then claimed that once this was released to upper management, they opened up a much larger investigation into numerous disappearances that had occurred on several other rides throughout the years. However, considering no bodies were ever discovered, Disney found it preferable to close down the attraction and avoid the publicity nightmare altogether. But it was too much for me to let this story get swept under the rug, so I decided to go into the ride recently when I last visited the park, to see if I could find any more remnants from the strange little person that had been living in the ride all those years. When I got to the attraction, I was easily able to maneuver my way into the employee area through one of the side access doors labeled Cast Member Only. Armed with only a cast member map that I had downloaded off the internet, and a crappy goofy flashlight I bought in the gift shop, I made my way through the closed attraction. When I reached the ride track, I climbed down below and searched for several minutes, looking for any clues I could find. I started to think I was stupid for even trying this, and that I should probably get going, but that was when I found an old park map in a corner, under a thick layer of dust. The map was of Epcot, and had a childlike sketch of Mickey ears over the top of the World Showcase Lagoon. Upon closer examination, though, I discovered that the ears had been smeared on there, with something that looked like blood. I immediately brought the park map to the police and told them where I had found it. They then did a forensic test and found that it was likely blood on the map that had been dried on there for months. A full-scale investigation of the lagoon was going to be done, which made me feel great. I felt like maybe something I had done finally made an impact. However, this was the last I was ever informed about the investigation. Regardless of how many times I've contacted the police department or Disney security, perhaps whatever they found in the lake was so damning that the park was forced to try and cover it up. If so, how could they have possibly done that? And also, if the investigation had been stopped, will they ever find the person that was taking these children? He could still be out there, grabbing unsuspecting kids off of rides and doing God knows what with them. Hopefully with time, though, these things will surface and people can enjoy the park again safely. Until then, I guess this is just an example of why locals and cast members have created the old adage that no one ever dies at Disney.